Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
All right, well, I've got a great responsibility and a great joy to be able to bring God's word to you today. My name's Jeremy Blackwood, as I said earlier. My beautiful wife is not the person that was standing beside me. As I mentioned before, she's actually sitting in the front row, beautiful Jennifer Blackwood, and I've got my three daughters sitting in the front row, and then I think my son's in the media room as well. So it's great to be alive, and we have been in this series, Recalibrate, The Body Teaches the Soul. We have been using this book. How many people, just out of curiosity, have read this book or picked it up in the lobby? There's actually quite a few. It's pretty interesting, and there's a lot of great stuff to go off of here. And so, you know, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about, many different things. Last week, my wife was talking about exercise. If you were here, she was on a treadmill the whole time. That was my idea, and she executed it beautifully. But just talking about exercise, the food that we eat, JD talked about technology. There's all sorts of just different things that... External things that we're learning about, and you know, we're learning how these habits ultimately help us become better followers of Jesus. So this isn't about like, okay, we do these physical things and we earn our way to heaven. Okay, just so you're clear about that, salvation is through Christ, through faith in Christ alone. And so, this is actually kind of a cool thought here. We don't practice these things to be saved. We practice them because we are saved, and we want our whole lives to align with the new life we've been given. So we've been given a new life. Imagine it this way. You just won the lottery, $150 million you just won. Okay? You won that. Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome. You have the winning ticket. You won it, and all that resource is yours. And it's the same as salvation. We have been given everything we need in Christ, but you're actually unpacking a brand new life, learning how to live different rhythms. If you had $150 million, you would have to figure out, how am I going to manage this? What's the responsible thing to do? Same, we've been given the greatest gift of all, new life in Christ. How do I manage this? And so we're actually getting our bodies to get in line with a reality that's already happened, which is salvation in Christ, okay? And so it's awesome. And the thing that I'm going to be talking about, and I am not scientific whatsoever, and I get to talk about the brain. The brain and mental health. And I'm actually very excited about this because it's a topic that I think is very... it will be very helpful for all of us. It was very helpful for me reading through a few different things. And so, you know, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to read a scripture from Ephesians first, just as a template for us to view things through, as a lens to put on, to view things through as we're talking about. So I'll read that first. And then after that, I want to focus on, we're going to talk about just some practical, how does the brain work? And I'm just going to be referring to some wisdom in this book, opposed to me. Just, I didn't come up with any of this stuff. I'm like, it was actually really helpful. There's actually five different kind of categories of the brain that we're going to talk about today, which will be helpful for us understanding scripture and how our bodies and our brains work. We'll do that, and then we'll find out, what does the scripture say about the brain? What does the scripture say? And then finally, how can we renew our minds and detox our minds? Okay, so that's kind of our plan today. Does that sound like a good plan? Okay. Delicious. Well, let's start off. Let's read. We're gonna read the scripture first, Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. And let me just say, a lot of the scriptures that I'll be using today, if you've been a Christian for, you know, any length of time, but a lot of them are popular scriptures that most Christians would know right away. But I'm actually, based on some of the learning I've done about the brain, it's actually helped me understand these scriptures even more. And hopefully that'll be the same case for you as well. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. So he's writing to them and he's saying, he's encouraging them, and he's trying to strengthen the church there in this letter to the Ephesians. It says, "Now this I say to you and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart." There's quite a bit happening in there right now. There's people who aren't following Jesus, and they actually have futile thinking in their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, and they're alienated from God because of the ignorance that's in them. There's ignorance that's been birthed in them. It's dwelling in them. And there's a hardness that's developed in their hearts because of that. So we're going to carry on. So due to the hardness of heart. "They have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So basically, I mean, we can see what's happening, but this is the filter I want us to just, I want us to keep this scripture in mind. And I brought a couple hats along just to kind of help understand this. You have a former way of thinking, okay? You are living a certain way. You've got this kind of thinking happening in your brain. But then when you meet Christ, we're invited to, our eyes are opened, our hearts are softened, and we are actually invited to put off, we're invited to put off the old way of thinking and put on the righteous, holy, magnificent way of thinking. Okay, now that's obviously a joke, you know, it's like, but just a really good way of thinking. I put on a new way of thinking, okay? There's actually, you can envision clothing as well. You know, you have a coat that's on. It's like, I'm taking that coat off, and I'm now putting on my new nature. So when we're reading the scriptures, understanding the brain, let's keep this in mind. Out with the old, in with the new, okay? So this isn't just behavior. It's not mental. This is actually mental and internal. This is how we think, okay? So, and we're being made new in the spirit of our mind. Okay, so the first topic and kind of question is how God designed your brain. How did God put your brain together? Again, I'm not the expert. I'm just referring to experts who have studied it and looked at the brain. So, you know, most people, before we get into, I'm going to read these five categories right away about the brain, but most people assume that your brain is just kind of the way your brain is, and it's like, this is just who I am, this is how I am, and just, I'm going to accept it. Well, that's actually not true at all. Your brain can change, your thinking can change, your patterns can change. God designed your brain with incredible flexibility. We're going to talk about that soon. So when you change what you think about, you literally change what your brain does. So you light up different neural pathways. You can change chemistry that's going on in your brain. You can change your stress responses. Have you met somebody who is very stressed out, and then they met Jesus, and they're just like, it's all good, man. It's like, what happened? Jesus physically changed what's happening inside their body and in their brain. There's a rewiring that happens, and so it's incredible. And so we're going to start on these five areas. The author Justin Whitmell Early, he talks about five different areas, and he I guess he calls them five dimensions of the brain. And he talks about, as well, tending to the garden of our minds. He kind of uses that language. So if you have like most people either garden themselves or understand what gardening is about, you put things into the ground, seeds and different other such things. You can put a potato in there and off it goes. I guess that's just a big seed. I don't know. I'm not that person either. But you put things in the ground, and then you put the right conditions there, and then they begin to grow. And it's the same thing with our minds. So there's five different areas we're going to look at. And the first one is the upper and lower brain, okay? The upper and lower brain. The upper, which is the cortex, if you want to use that word, go ahead. Some of you are like, understand the brain very well. Again, I'm just using information that I've been given, and I have an understanding on it now, which is helpful. So the upper cortex is the thinking part of your brain. It's the reasoning part of your brain. This governs the higher thought in your brain. It's like the conductor or the symphony of your mind, okay? That's the upper cortex, the upper part of your brain. This would be the very conscious part of your brain, the part that you're very, very aware what you're thinking, when you're thinking it, and you're mulling things over. That's the upper. Now, the lower is the automatic, emotional, and reactive part. The lower runs habits, okay? The lower is the subconscious. This is the part of the brain that controls automatic functions like breathing, digestion, and your heartbeat. You're not, like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm not like, oh, jeepers, get my heart beating. Like, I don't think about that. I don't think about breathing. But that's what your lower brain is controlling, okay? That's the habitual part of you. It's also the seat of subconscious memory and habit, linking the brain and body, and this is what it says, through the cranial and peripheral nerves. Okay? It's kind of cool. That's why trauma, anxiety, and even public speaking often manifest first through physical symptoms. Our conscious upper brain is taking in information from the unconscious lower brain. So that's why this is why you can know a truth and be extremely anxious at the same time. Your brain forms automatic pathways based on repetition, and that's happening in the lower brain a lot of times. So spiritual practices can actually retrain those pathways, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. So you're not just changing your belief systems, you're actually changing responses. So that's the first one. You've got the upper and lower brain. And then the next one, number two, is the inner and outer brain. This is like the relational brain and actually has built-in Wi-Fi. That's kind of what they talk about. I'm actually going to read a section here from here because it just explains this best, in my opinion. Okay, so there's a study. In the mid-1900s, researchers discovered mirror neutrons, showing that when a monkey watched a human eat a peanut, the same brain regions lit up as if the monkey were eating the peanut. So the monkey's watching, the brain waves go off. It's like, and the same things as if they were eating it. This phenomenon was later confirmed in humans and helps explain why empathy manifests biochemically. Neurologists sometimes call this emotional Wi-Fi. I found this super fascinating when I read this. Our brains are wired to respond to the brains around us. Other people change us. Carrying on here, it says, watching what they do, other people, alters what our brains do, often without our awareness. So we carry on through this, and it says, our capacity to destroy one another is matched by our capacity to heal one another. Restoring relationships and communication is central to restoring well-being. This is the last little chunk here. This neurological truth reinforces a spiritual reality. We were made for relationships because we bear the image of a relational triune God. The people we surround ourselves with change us, which means that pursuing healthy relationships and, when needed, good therapy is not just wise but necessary for mental health. So, I mean, the Bible talks about this. Our associations really do matter. And so if you are in an unhealthy place in your brain and even in your body, if you are only surrounding yourself with people that are negative, pessimistic, cynical, and even sinful, you are going to actually link yourself to their brains, and you're going to just think the same, act the same. And that's why if you're in a place like that, you might need to remove yourself for a time, get healthy, and then you can reinsert yourself into those areas to bring health to those areas. But I thought that was actually pretty fascinating. So our brains are constantly syncing with the other people that are around us. So I thought that was, that was really fascinating. Number three, past and future. Past and future, and then the heading he had here is, your brain is storied. So your brain constantly does two things, and I'm sure you can, when I read this, I was like, oh, it absolutely does. It's either replaying the past, or it's trying to predict the future. Replaying the past, like being in the present is actually harder to do. You're thinking about something back there, or you're thinking towards something. That's why trauma traps people in yesterday. That's what's actually happening. You're trapped in the past. And that's why anxiety often traps people in tomorrow. So it hasn't even happened, but you're just trapped in it. I'm so anxious about what is going to happen. And I would suggest that the majority of times, the things that do actually happen aren't the things that we think about and are, that we think are going to happen. So Whitmill says this. He says, our brains seek a plot line. The stories we tell ourselves change who we are. For Christians, understanding the power of story means recognizing that our personal histories are part of a greater narrative, the grand story of creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. We must learn to see ourselves between the chapters of redemption and consummation. He gives some examples. Broken, but being healed. Sinful, but being sanctified. Fallen, but ultimately being restored. The now and not yet nature of the kingdom of God reminds us that while full healing awaits Christ's return, real transformation is still possible now. Shalom, which is just wholeness in God and in all of ourselves, the way God designed us, in the mind means living as people of the story. So just to help you understand this, we can either get trapped in the past, or we can be anticipating the future in negative ways. And what God's inviting us to do is let's know the past, let's understand the past, which is the story of Christ, and let's also know what the future holds, that all things will be redeemed perfectly when Christ returns. And we find ourselves, if we can join that story and bring ourselves in our minds into that story, it's like, yes, my leg is all messed up and I can't walk properly, but it's, so that's my reality right now, but am I going to just live in that? No, there is a redemption coming for it at some point in time. It may be in a week, I don't know when that time is going to be, but I'm going to live in the now and not yet. So we're attaching ourselves to the story that we find ourselves in, which is God's story that he's outworking through his people. Number four, we've got a left brain and a right brain. This is probably where lots of people would understand this. This is something that I actually did know. So the left brain is the logical side, okay? You've got a logic side. It's a critical thinking. You've got more concrete kind of feelings with that. And then the right side is more of the emotional side. It's the creative side, okay? There's many different things that can be happening with that as well. And I have just a little chunk. Is this helpful to you guys? Okay, I'm just wondering because... To me, it's a lot of information today, but we will get to scripture. But I find this really is, I think it'll be helpful as we get to the scripture shortly. So this is the left and right brain. He says, when one side becomes over-dominant, we suffer from a lack of integration of being fully human, which is that rich complexity that results from both sides working together. An overactive left brain leads to rigid analysis without wonder. An overreactive right brain leads to creative imagination without clarity. When we lose integration between logic and imagination, we lose the shalom, the peace, of mental health. The Bible presents us with not an either or, but a both. We are called to think critically so that God's truth forms our minds, but we are called to imagine deeply so that the beauty of the kingdom forms our desires. Biblical faith asks for both reasoned belief and awe-filled worship. The fully integrated mind is one that sees God's world as it is, rational, poetic, structured, and mysterious all at once. Naturally, you're going to lean most likely to one side or the other. So, I mean, you can probably look up a million different ways on how you could, I'm going to maybe start to exercise. If I'm more logical and concrete, maybe I should look at some creative things that I could do to get the right side going, and vice versa. And number five, the very last one, is shaped and shapeable. And this, and the tag he has here is, your brain is like plastic. So really, I'll just sum this up very quickly, this section, because I want to get on. Your brain is like Play-Doh, okay? If your brain, Play-Doh, if it's normal Play-Doh, like not gooey stuff that flops all over, you can shape it and it holds, okay? Your brain, it gets shaped and it holds whatever is there. But it's also very shapeable. If you begin to retrain thinking, you can actually mold it from one thing to another. You can actually develop and change. So your brain has lots of movement to it, and you can actually change it, which I think is exciting to me, because sometimes I just think I'm stuck with the brain that I've got. But when you think about physical transformations of maybe someone who goes to the gym, they haven't worked out a day in their life, and all of a sudden they go through a physical transformation, and you can see some crazy results. We can do the same thing with our minds. You just might not be able to see it. You just experience it down the road, but it takes time. Okay, so one last thing to fill in on the brain after these five points. The mind versus the brain, they are not the same thing. And this is an important thing to understand when we read scripture. Your brain and your mind are not the same thing. Your brain is physical. Your mind is the thinking, choosing, directing part of you, okay? Your mind can direct your brain. When you change your thinking, you actually change your brain. If you keep thinking the same thoughts, you keep getting, obviously, the same results. So most people live reacting to whatever thoughts appear, but you can actually set the agenda of your mind. So when you think fearful thoughts, your brain releases stress chemistry. When you rehearse worst case scenarios, what's going to happen? Your body reacts as if that's actually happening. Your brain has very little ability to distinguish between a real threat and an imagined one. So if you constantly imagine disaster, and you might be that person, or I grew up, there's this one mom that she was fearful of literally every single thing at all times. And bad things seemed to happen to her all the time because she was living in a reality of fear. She was just inviting that into her world. So if you constantly imagine disaster, your body lives in stress. That is why you can't trust every feeling, though. Feelings often come through thoughts your brain is trying to interpret. So many thoughts we think are actually not true, but if we rehearse them, they begin to shape us. That's why many things, we will think on things, and then pretty soon they just start happening in our world because we're thinking about it all the time. All right, two other areas. I'm going to look at what Scripture has to say, and then we're going to look at how do we renew our minds and detox our brains, okay? Here we go. Scripture, and this part isn't very long because I'm going to use a lot of these scriptures in our detoxification process. Okay. So the Bible has been saying, the reason I gave that kind of platform is so we have an understanding. Now, this is at least a bit of an understanding how the brain works and how Scripture is written to actually address the way our brain works. So Romans 12:2, again, this is a very popular scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It doesn't say by the renewal of your prayer life, by the renewing of fasting and praying, by the renewing of just reciting and memorizing scripture, though all those things have a purpose and are good. It says, be transformed. How are we transformed? By the renewal of our mind. I am a lottery winner in Jesus Christ, and I need to start thinking like a lottery winner in Jesus Christ. That's how we start transforming our mind. And it carries on that by testing, you may discern. So you get to discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Renewal leads to transformation. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments. Does it seem like there's a lot of arguments going on in the world these days? How are we as Christians meant to handle them? We get to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God is king. And we get to destroy everything that comes against the knowledge of God. And we get to take, what does the Bible say? Every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Okay? I'm a lottery winner in Jesus Christ. And now I need to start thinking that way. And if there's thinking that doesn't line up with the life of Christ, I need to say, that does not belong here. Get out of here. We get to play an active role in arresting each thought. Philippians 4, 6 to 8. Do not be anxious. Does anyone struggle with anxiety nowadays? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, it'll guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And then it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything worthy of praise, says, think about such things. All right, let's just go to these 4 points because I've taken a little bit much too time. I didn't even say that right. A little much too time. Okay. I think you know what I'm trying to say here. Okay, here's 4 practical ways to renew and detox our mind. Okay? And the purpose of this, imagine this, me being a trainer for your physical body, and I'm saying, here's 4 ways that you can start going to the gym and train. Okay? That's the way we need to start thinking about this. This isn't just like, I need to think about these things 1 or 2 times, and then all of a sudden, there I am. No, you need repetition. You need reps. You need a lot of different things in here, but let's start with 1, set your agenda in the morning. The first thing that you do, if you want to renew your mind and detoxify this old way of thinking and go with the righteous way of thinking here, is we are going to set your agenda in the morning. Attention before information, okay? One of the most powerful things you can do for your mental health is to decide who gets the first word every day, okay? You get to decide that, all right? Because whatever you give your attention to first often shapes the emotional tone for the day. Isn't that true? Do you find that? Okay. So, if the first voice that you're hearing is news or a social media feed or comparison, your brain is just firing and reacting, and it's just starting to go crazy with that. Psalm 5:3 says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice." This is King David speaking. "I prepare a sacrifice for you, and I watch." And even Jesus gives the example in Mark 1:35. Says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he," referring to Jesus, "departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." If Jesus needed to be quiet with the Father, I think it's a great thing for us to do. And let me help you out, okay? You don't need to spend 1 or 2 hours. Some people do that. And that's awesome. But maybe you're a mom of many children, or even just one child. It doesn't matter. You might just need 5 minutes, okay? I'm just taking 5 minutes. My mom used to lock herself in the bathroom. That's what she told me. I didn't know that when I was a kid. She just, I just like give myself a timeout in the bathroom for 5 minutes. So just don't grab your phone immediately. Even 5 to 10 minutes of scripture, you can start with a psalm, you can read the gospel, and just, you can start with a simple prayer. Lord, help me hear your truth today. But we're trying to mentally align ourselves to being those lottery winners in Christ, okay? 2 is we replace, okay? 2 is we replace, and this is what we were talking about. We put off the old nature, and we put on the new nature. So the Bible never tells us to just, all right, get rid of this, and then that's it. It's always fill your life with, okay? Because your brain can't run on empty. You need to actually be filling it with some kind of content. So there's always going to be, if you empty your brain of something, you need to fill it with the appropriate things, okay? And that's where we read about in Ephesians earlier, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Okay, on our own, we used to just have these deceitful desires. We were walking around and it's like, it's all about me. This is my life. I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. Okay, and then we take that off and we put on the new life in Christ and we are found, it isn't all about me. Okay, and we're being renewed in the spirit of our minds. We actually have to put that off and put on. That's our responsibility. Okay, so here's a practical thing you can do. You can go Google or ChatGPT or anything you want and just look up, you can just type in the statement, who I am in Christ. Who I am in Christ. And it'll come up with like over 50 scriptures of who you are in Christ. And honestly, you can, I fully believe this. You can reshape your life so quickly. Take that for 30 days. Read that in the morning. Read that at night. And just say, and just pray it over you. I have the mind of Christ, it says. I have been chosen. I am accepted. You might be adopted and you think, nobody wanted me. I am accepted. I am accepted. And that's what the Bible says. That's the reality of who you actually are. You might not believe it right now, but as you begin to speak it over, and this isn't just like, I'm just going to say all these things and magically things are going to change. No, you're saying truth. That's what you're saying. That's the difference. Like, I'm not going to say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. And then I climb a building and jump off. It's like, that's just foolishness. We use the knowledge of God, okay? And so we just, but when I say, I am chosen, God chose me. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He did that. That is a reality that is true, and you begin to speak that over your life, okay? Number three, take every thought captive. Some of these are overlapping, but they're a little bit different as well. So in this book, he was saying about 80% of the thoughts that we think often aren't true. That's a lot of thoughts that aren't true. And I would suggest for myself, at least, oftentimes I tell myself stuff that's not true all the time. And then you start believing it, which is ridiculous. So we need to take every thought captive. You know, many thoughts are automatic. Some are shaped by fear or past wounds, comparison, or even just exhaustion. But when we look at 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we destroy arguments, this is what we read earlier, and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So that's our job. We have to put off, we have to put on. We have to, every thought that comes through, positive and negative, every thought that comes through, does this line up with who I am in Christ? Does this line up with what the Bible says about who I am? So some of you have just been letting thoughts run around like crazy. Like imagine a daycare where there's no order. They just like release the kids out the back door and like, have fun. That may be your brain right now. And you're going to have to be like, I think I might need to get some boundaries, put up a fence. I might have to figure out how to get some order going on here. And you can do it. You can arrest those thoughts. You know, if anxiety rises up this week, here's a simple thing. Name the thought. You can even write it down, but you can even say it out loud. So you might have the thought, you might have a presentation at school or work and like, I suck. I don't have what it takes. Well, that's not true. So you can name it, say what it is, bring it to God. God, does this line up with who you say I am? No, it does not. God, who do you say I am? And replace that thought. You can do it. All ages can do this. The final one here is practice gratitude daily. And you've heard this before, but this is crazy. One of the most powerful and overlooked practices for mental health is this in Scripture is gratitude. Gratitude is not denial, okay? Gratitude is not denial. It's not pretending things aren't hard. It's choosing to anchor your mind in God's faithfulness even when life is imperfect, okay? Okay. God, this circumstance really stinks. I am finding it very, very difficult. I'm finding feelings rising up in me. But I'm anchoring myself to the truth that you said, God is for me, he is not against me, that you are with me and you will never forsake me. So you begin to recite the scriptures in your life. This is my reality in Christ. Again, this is not denial. It's just actually, it's the trump card. The Bible is the trump card every time. You can just pull it out and it's like, I win. Because of what the Bible says about me, and it's not because I did anything, it's because Christ did it all, I can actually win the hand every time. And it doesn't mean you win every situation. There's times where we go through loss and trial and difficulty. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's aligning ourselves with the reality of who God says that we are. So I've just kind of run out of time there. But ultimately, begin to thank God. And it might be a hard thing to do if you're in a very difficult season right now. But just pick one thing, a physical thing. Thank you that I have breath, God. Just start to thank God for breath, which is an enormous, like it is, that's not a little thing, but that's something that everybody in this room has. We all have breath. God, thank you that, you know, you have, and just begin. God, open the eyes of my heart to see what you have actually done for me, and just begin to thank him. And you can just continue to thank him. And if it's just one thing you can think of, oh, God, I'm going to keep thanking you for that one thing. And I believe that will detox and clean a lot of your mind. I've run out of time this morning, so I just want to invite you guys to stand. Hopefully that was helpful for you. And you're encouraged as well. I'm just going to take a few moments and pray together. And we're going to pray two prayers. One is just simply praying and just thanking God. We're going to just do a prayer of thanksgiving, okay? And we're also going to, I'm going to pray for your minds. We all need to be working on our minds. That's your individual responsibility. I can't do that for anyone else in this room. And then also we're going to pray a prayer that's just inviting God to maybe for the first time take control of your mind. And giving surrender to Christ. So let's pray together. And you can just, if you want, you can open your hands before God as just a symbol of God. I'm open to you. Ultimately, just inviting you to open your heart to God. And so, Father, I thank you for your people. And first and foremost, God, before anything else, I thank you that you are the true sovereign God. God, you do reign over all circumstances. There are no kings, there are no presidents, there are no prime ministers, God, that sit on a throne that is higher than you. You reign over all this world, God, and we declare that you are the good, faithful, awesome God. And God, we thank you that you have given us life through Christ. God, you have been so generous to us. And God, we do thank you that you have given us breath, God. You have given us passion in our spirits, God, where we maybe once were dead, God. God, you have given us direction, God. You have provided for us, God. You have been so gracious towards us, God. We could spend the whole day thanking you over and over again. But God, I also pray for your people, each one of us, God. Our minds you have given us to steward and take care of. And so, Father, we just pray that you help us take care of our minds in a way that honors you, God. And God, I ask that you help us take the responsibility to arrest the thinking that is not of you. And we just ask, God, that you help us replace that negative thinking, that broken thinking, with your holy, awesome thinking, God. Help us to think the way you think, react the way you react, God. We're inviting you to do that, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. And we continue in an attitude of prayer, and as I mentioned, I'm just going to give an opportunity. Maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you're listening online, or maybe you were following Jesus for a period of time, and you've just kind of gone your own way. This is our time to just come back to him or maybe to him for the first time. And so I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and then afterwards Melissa's going to come and instruct us of what to do. But this is an opportunity for us to surrender our lives to Christ. And I think it's a prayer that we can all, even as Christians, just pray again, saying, God, here's my submission to you again today. And so if you want to pray that with me, feel free. We're going to just pray out loud, and you can repeat after me. And we just say, God, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for Jesus. Today, I acknowledge that on my own, I am not enough. So I come to you, Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me for living life my own way. Would you forgive me for all my sin? And would you fill me with your Spirit? Give me a new mind, a new heart to follow after you. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.